Ephesians chapter number 5. And notice, we'll begin reading in verse number 16. Notice, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore, be not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. And be not drunk with wine, where is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. But then notice this in verse number 20. Giving thanks always for all things unto who? God. Unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. All right, so Paul here is giving some things of wisdom. Okay, he starts off there in the first verse that we saw there in verse number 16. And notice what he says, redeeming the times because the day are evil. Sometimes we lived for the world for many years, and we served the world. Well, now he says, redeem the times. The days are evil. The days are short. Focus on the things of the Lord, not on the things of the world. You've lived plenty in those days and in those times. Forget about that. Now live for me. Notice verse 17. Don't be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. God has a will for the life of the believer. And we need to be, like it says here, wise to understand what the will of God is for every believer. And if we open the Bible, God will tell us what the will of God is for every believer. I'm not talking about an individual will. I'm talking about just simple, basic instructions of the things that God wants us to do and the things that He doesn't want us to do. That's the will of God. Okay? All right, then notice verse number 18. Be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. He says, don't focus on things that are alcoholic. Nothing good comes out of that. Only shame and regret and all kinds of bad things come from that. But instead, be filled with the Spirit. Well, to be filled with the Spirit is to walk in the Spirit, is to be led by the Spirit. And that's what God wants, for us to live in the Spirit and to walk in the Spirit. Ephesians chapter number 5. And then we get to our verse. Notice, not only are all these things good, but notice verse number 20, giving thanks, when? Always. Always. For all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. So with that in mind, what are some things that you and I can be thankful for? Not only Thanksgiving Day, which is in a couple days. Thanksgiving Day is usually a day when we get together with family, with friends, and we cook a nice meal, and we give thanks to God for whatever, all kinds of things. But not, we shouldn't just be thankful one day out of the year. Thankfulness, or our attitude of being thankful towards God, should be every day. So what are some things that you and I can be thankful to God for? The first thing is this: you and I can be thankful to God for our salvation. That's one thing that we should be thankful for. Oftentimes, we take our salvation for granted. Yet, the Lord Jesus Christ paid the ultimate price. I've said it before, but I never get tired of saying it. That the Lord Jesus Christ came to this world. He died on the cross for our sins. The Bible says that He was buried and that He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures, and that He shed His blood for you and for me. And the way that you and I come to know Him is by faith. For by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it's a gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. If it was of works, guess what? We could do a couple things. Well, I can give money to the church. I can be good to this person. I can give gifts over here. I can do this. And it's all about what people think of me, how people see me, and how, but it's not about that. God sees it all. And we can't hide from anyone, from we can hide from other people, but we can't hide from God. And he knows it all. And so he knows our heart, and so salvation is something to be thankful for. Well, why should we be thankful of our salvation? Well, when we get saved, we are in Christ. We've been going through that in the book of Ephesians. Once a person is saved, we are now in Christ. Well, there's a couple benefits to that. The first benefit that I think of is the hope that is in us, that when we die, or the Lord Jesus Christ comes back before then, we're going to spend eternity with him. If you're saved, if you've believed on the Lord Jesus Christ by faith, plus nothing else, you are saved. And if you were to die right now, absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Just like that. Just like that. And that's the hope that we have as Christians. And that's a good thing. We ought to thank God for that, that one day when we die, we're going to be in heaven with God if you have believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. But that's not it. See, we think about the future, but sometimes we don't live as if that's ever going to happen. We live in the here and the now. And because of that, salvation also has some things that affect us even now. Well, what is that? Even now, you and I can have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. There's a song that says, "And he walks with me, and he talks with me, and he tells me I am his own." You see, that's a personal relationship. That's not a God that's far away, that he doesn't know what I'm going through. No, he's right here next to us. We wake up in the morning and we get this Bible and we sit down. We sit down right here and he's right here next to us. We're in prayer and he's not far away. He's right here with us. We have a personal relationship with him. The Bible says, you don't have to turn there, in Revelation chapter number 3 and verse number 20, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and will sup with him, and he with me." You know what that is? That's a personal relationship. Amen. He's knocking at the door, and he wants you to open the door so that he can have fellowship with you, and you can have fellowship with him. And that only happens because we're saved. Okay? So not only that, but also we have a new life. In salvation, right now, we have a new life. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter number 5 and verse number 17, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new." All things. We used to live in sin, but not anymore. We go from sin to righteousness. That's a new life. And that can only happen. Listen, you can try to do that and try to mimic that on your own, but you'll never have that unless you're saved. Salvation took, that's one of the benefits of being saved, is that we're a new creature in Christ. An unbeliever is not a new creature. They're still in the old man. Okay? Not only that, the Bible says in Romans 8:1, "There is therefore now no condemnation, no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit." We're not condemned to hell anymore. Now we're going to heaven with the Lord Jesus Christ, and so we ought to live like we're not condemned. In other words, you don't have to think and look back of the past shame and regret that comes from a life of sin. Now, the Bible says that you have been washed white as snow. You see, sometimes our sins look like this. The white part was God, and all the words was our sin. But then The Lord Jesus Christ saved us. Let me find a clear white page. Well, let me just get a piece of paper because I don't have one. Man. There's a napkin. Okay. I was trying to bring a white page so that we could see the difference. Now, it's white as snow. Now it's like, this is it. There's no sin there anymore. The Lord Jesus Christ paid for all of that. Not only a personal relationship and a new life and no condemnation, but also we have the fruit of the Spirit. And that's something that you cannot get if you're not saved. It's the fruit of the Spirit of God. And the only way that the Spirit of God can manifest or come out in the life of a believer is if the Spirit of God is in you. And the Bible says in Galatians 5:22, regarding the Spirit of God, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance. All of these are benefits of a person being saved. That before you used to not love somebody else, but now in Christ, through Christ, you can love somebody else. Joy? Joy is only something that a believer can experience. A lost person has happiness, but they don't have joy. Peace? Not only do we have peace with God because He already paid for our sins, but we have peace through God. Peace that He already forgave us everything. And I know that if I was to die right now, the account has been settled. I can stand before God with peace. I can go to sleep at night and have peace because of Christ.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Yes.
Not only that, long suffering. Well, there's some people that I don't like, and there's some people that y'all don't like. Don't look at me like that. But listen, God gives us long suffering to be able to deal with those people. Okay, we may not like them, but God helps us and gives us long suffering. Well, a lost person doesn't have that.
Amen.
Gentleness. Now, some people are not very gentle, but with the Spirit of God in us, we can be gentle with all people. Love, joy, peace, long suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, to be meek with others. All of those things are a consequence of our salvation. And you and I can be thankful, first of all, for our salvation. Amen? All right. Not only that, not only thankful for our salvation, but notice Psalm 107. Psalm 107, and look at verse number 1. The second thing that you and I can give thanks to God for is the mercy of God. Notice Psalm 107 and look at verse number 1. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good, for His mercy endureth forever. See, that's the mercy of God. Well, what is mercy? That's the question. Mercy is being treated better than we deserve. To treat an offender better than he deserves, to forbear punishment or to inflict less than the law or justice will warrant. In other words, you and I deserved something worse than what we're getting. Why? Because God is merciful to us. Really, what we deserve is for God to get rid of us in our sins right away. But He's merciful. And we need the mercy of God. Mercy causes an injured person to forgive somebody else's trespasses and somebody else's injuries. It's only mercy that does that. Because we have that towards somebody else. Go to 1 Timothy chapter number 1. I want you to see here, if there's anyone that needed mercy, it was the Apostle Paul. I mean, we need mercy every day, but I want to show you an example in 1 Timothy chapter number 1. And I want you to notice this in verse number 13. And so that we can get some context, we'll start in verse number 12. 1 Timothy chapter number 1, verse number 12. And I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who had enabled me, for that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry. Notice this, who was before a blasphemer and a persecutor and an injurious, but I obtained what? Mercy. Why? Because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant with faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. You see, the Apostle Paul knew exactly about the mercy of God. He said three things there. First of all, he used to be a blasphemer. What's a blasphemer? A blasphemer is somebody who insulted the name of Christ, who cursed and railed the name of Christ. That's who Paul was. That was a blasphemer. He was a persecutor. That means that he was against all the believers. He wanted to get rid of them all. All of them. And he did everything in his power to do exactly that. And he was injurious, which means a person that is brutal and violent. And listen, and he enjoyed doing that. He wanted to get rid of all the Christians and get rid of Christianity. That's who he was. He was a blasphemer, a persecutor, an injurious man. Go to Acts chapter number 26 so we can see something else about him. Acts chapter number 26. Acts chapter number 26, and look at verse number 9. I verily thought with myself that I ought to do many things, notice, contrary to the name of Jesus of Nazareth, which thing I also did in Jerusalem, and many of the saints did I shut up in prison, having received authority from the chief priests, and when they were put to death, I gave my voice against them. And I punished them oft in every synagogue, and compelled them to blaspheme. And being exceedingly mad against them, I persecuted them even unto strange cities. This is who Paul was. He was a bad person. And this is exactly what he was doing with other and two other Christians. That's why when Paul said, as we're going to see, that he, although he was the chiefest of sinners, he was glad that he received the mercy of God. Amen. Because if anybody needed the mercy of God, it was the Apostle Paul, the chiefest of sinners. The Bible says in Micah 7:8, who is a God like unto thee, that pardoneth iniquity and passeth by the transgression of the remnant of his heritage? He retaineth not his anger forever. Notice this. Why? Because he delighteth in mercy. He delights in mercy. That means that God has great pleasure in mercy. You see, there's a lot of people that might tell you, well, God is He's a bad God, and he is just waiting for you to mess up so that he can do something bad to you. And he's just, that's not who God is. That's not the God that we know. The God that we know is full of mercy, and we need that. Go to 1 Timothy chapter number 1. Notice what Paul said here regarding the mercy that he received. First Timothy chapter number 1, and look at verse number 16. Howbeit, for this cause I obtained what? Mercy. That in me first, Jesus Christ might show forth all longsuffering. Notice, for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on him to life everlasting. Paul said, you know, the reason why God was merciful to me is so that it could be a pattern to those that would come after me that would believe. You see, if the chiefest of sinners receive the mercy of God, even though he didn't deserve it, guess what? It's a good pattern for you and I that he is still, Jesus Christ is still doing the same thing for you and I even today. And we need the mercy of God. We do our very best to walk in the Spirit of God, but sometimes we do some things that are not pleasing to God, and we need the mercy of God every day. This is a pattern to unbelievers. What is that pattern? If you're here today and you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, this pattern that Paul was talking about here is a pattern for unbelievers, that no matter what you have been through, no matter how bad you have been against God, there's no sin that's too bad that God cannot forgive. That's a good pattern. You see, Paul was a pretty bad sinner, but there is no sin that anyone can ever commit that God won't forgive. Amen. And it's a pattern for those that are believers. We try to do our best, but any believer can be delivered from sin and from the power of sin, no matter how enslaved we may be to that sin. You see, sin, when we get into sin, sin will grab a hold of us. And it's very difficult to get out of it. But God can help a person get through that. In fact, only he can. There's nothing that we can do or anybody else can do for us. God can deliver us from that sin. So it's a pattern for you and I that the mercy of God can help us no matter where we are. Amen? And that's something to be thankful for. Amen. Not only that, let's go to Philippians chapter number 4. Philippians chapter number 4. And look at verse number 19, a very familiar passage, but nonetheless, a very good one. Philippians chapter number 4, verse number 19. But my God shall supply all your need according to the riches in glory by Christ Jesus. You know, the next thing that you and I can be thankful to God for is this: his supply. His supply. God said, according to this verse, that he was going to supply all of our needs. Well, you need some clothes, God will supply that. Food, clothes, and shelter. He's going to supply his children with those things. And sometimes, you know what? He even gives us our wants. Sometimes we say, you know, I want this, and God will give us our wants also. He's that good to us. But even if he doesn't give us our wants, we know this, he will give us the things that we need. Amen. And that's something to be thankful for. One of the greatest promises in the Bible is this one, that God's going to supply our need. Now, we live in the U.S. of A., and we live very comfortably, and We work and we get some money and all those things. But let me tell you something. We don't know what tomorrow holds. And tomorrow we can lose it all. We can lose our health. We can lose our money. We can lose everything. And if we're not relying on God and His sufficiency, then we should do that. Notice, my God. My God. You know what that says? He's the great provider.
Amen.
If He's not your God, you ought to make Him your God.
Amen.
Because He can only be your God if you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. But let me tell you something. He's my God. And God Himself, no matter the need, no matter how great the need, He will supply it. There's no need that is greater than God. God owns everything. And if He had need of something, the Bible says He wouldn't tell you. There's nobody richer than God. There's nobody that has anything more than God. And my God shall supply your need. Do you have a need? He's my God. He's my God too. Amen. All right. He shall supply. That's a fact. My God shall supply. There's no question about the provision being supplied. God is able and He will supply the need of His children. If you came here tonight and you had some kind of question, well, I just don't know if God's going to supply this need. Let me tell you something. According to this, God will supply it.
Yes.
And you can be assured of that.
Yes.
Not only the great provider and the great assurance, but the great provision. Notice, He will supply how many needs?
All
your needs. All of them. Well, guess what? I have a lot of needs. Well, guess what? He's going to supply them all. All your needs. Not only food, clothes, and shelter, but also mental, emotional, and spiritual. There's no need too big for God that He can't supply. According to what? Notice what the Bible says. According to His riches in glory. There's no limit with God.
Amen.
You say, well, my need is pretty great. Well, you and billions of other Christians, it's okay. God takes the time. You say, well, how can God be in heaven and all? Let's say everybody in this room has a need. Well, God can stop what He's doing and listen to your need individually and listen to your need individually and listen to your need individually and yours and yours. And He's not going to get confused.
No, no.
Oh, now I'm all confused. Who needed this over here? Who?
He's a God of order.
No. God's not confused.
He's a God of order.
It doesn't take anything by surprise. God knows it. God knows the need, but He wants us to tell Him about our need. And then He'll supply our need.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
There's no limit to Him. Everything's available to God to meet our needs.
Yes.
In Nehemiah chapter number 9 and verse number 15, Nehemiah is quoting this verse of the nation of Israel. When God took them out of Egypt into the promised land, and they wandered in the wilderness for many years. And He says, and God gave us them bread from heaven for their hunger, and brought us forth water for them out of the rock for their thirst. You know what God did? He supplied their need. Supernatural food that came from heaven specifically for them. And supernatural water that came out of a rock. Really? Of course. And that's how God said. And you know what else the Bible says? That their clothes, after wandering in the wilderness for 40 years, their clothes was as if nothing had happened to it. They were still in good condition. You know why? Because God supplied their need. And just like God supplied for them, He supplies for you and I, even right now. Isn't that true?
Yeah.
Amen. All right. And then the last thing is this. Go to 2 Thessalonians chapter number 2. 2 Thessalonians chapter number 2 and look at verse number 13. Paul is fixing to close here his letter to the church in Thessalonica. And this is what he tells them here in verse number 13 of 2 Thessalonians chapter number 2. But we are bound to give thanks always to God for who? For you. He's writing to the church in Thessalonica. And it says, we are bound to give thanks when? Always. For who? For you. For you. Brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth, whereunto he called you by your gospel, by our gospel, to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. And then he goes on to give them some instruction. But notice the first part in verse number 13. We are bound to give thanks always for you. The last thing is this. You and I ought to be thankful for the brethren. Amen. Believers in Christ. Brothers and sisters in Christ. Everybody that's here today, we ought to give thanks for one another. Why? Because you and I are a help to one another. Sure, we have God, and God helps us through the Word of God and through prayer, but more than that, He's given us other believers so that we can be a help one to another. Go to Acts chapter number 20. I'll give you an example. And we should always be thanking God for people that get saved and turn from sin unto righteousness. That's a good thing. These people then become our brethren. Amen. We ought to be praying for them that the Lord would save them. Give us an opportunity to tell others about the Lord Jesus Christ. Isn't it great to be saved? Amen. Yeah, it's great. Yeah, but it's even greater to tell somebody that's lost and then they get saved. Oftentimes we forget, but we shouldn't forget. That way we can have the help of other believers. Notice Acts chapter number 20 and look at verse number 17. This is the elders' reaction to Paul leaving. He's fixing to leave the place where he's at. He's already in verses 1 through 5, traveled through many places. He visited Jerusalem, then he goes into Macedonia, and then he goes into Greece. But then, notice in verse number 17. And from Miletus he sent to Ephesus. This is Paul. And he called the elders of the church. And when they were come to him, he said unto them, ye know that from the first day that I came into Asia, after what manner I have been with you at all seasons, notice, serving the Lord with all humility of mind, and with many tears and temptations which befell me by the lying in wait of the Jews, and how I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but have showed you and have taught you publicly and from house to house, testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greek, repentance towards God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. And now, behold, notice, I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there, save the Holy Ghost witnesseth in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions abide me. But none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy, and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus, to testify the gospel of the grace of God. And now behold, I know that among you, notice, among whom I have gone preaching the kingdom of God, shall see my face no more. Wherefore, I take you to record this day that I am pure from the blood of all men. And he goes on and he gives them other things. But notice verse number 36. I have showed you all things, how that so laboring ye ought to support the weak, and remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. Amen. And when he had thus spoken, notice, he kneeled down, and he prayed with them all, and they all wept sore, and fell upon Paul's neck, and kissed him, sorrowing most of all for the words which he spake, that he should see, that they should see his face no more, and they accompanied him unto the ship. You know what was going on here? Paul went over there and he taught them. He taught them publicly. He taught them one-on-one. He showed them what it was like to live as a Christian. He told them, this is how you ought to help those that are in need. All those things we just read, Paul was an example, but he was a brethren to those elders. And when it came time for Paul to leave, he said, you know what? I'm not going to see you anymore. The Holy Spirit says that they're going to take me bound into Jerusalem. Guess what others did? They wept for him. You know why? That's how close the bond was between believers. And we ought to thank God for other believers. Because every person in the body of Christ brings something to the body of Christ. And when somebody's not here, they're missed because they bring something. And that's the reason why they're missed, because there's a connection and a bond with one another. Let me show you one more example. Go to 1 Samuel chapter 23. 1 Samuel chapter number 23. This is Jonathan being a help to David. 1 Samuel chapter number 23, and look at verse number 15. If you remember, Jonathan's father was Saul. Saul was going after David, and he wanted to kill him. He didn't want him to be the next king. And David was at his lowest. He knew that God had already called him to be the next king, and he couldn't understand why this was happening. But I want you to notice in 1 Samuel chapter number 23 and verse number 15. And David saw that Saul was come out to seek his life. And David was in the wilderness of Ziph in a wood. And Jonathan, Saul's son, arose and went to David into the wood, and did what? And strengthened his hand in God. And he said unto him, fear not, for the hand of Saul my father shall not find thee, and thou shalt be king over Israel, and I shall be next unto thee, and that also Saul my father knoweth. And they two made a covenant before the Lord, and David abode in the wood, and Jonathan went to his house. You know what they had? They had a friendship, and they had a good relationship amongst brethren. And he says, it's okay. But one of the things that Jonathan did that the Bible says is that he encouraged them in the Lord. If you have friends that'll encourage you in the things of the Lord, you have something good. And that's something to thank the Lord for. For other believers that are willing to take the time to show you from the scriptures, this is what God says. Okay? So in conclusion, I'll say this. Has God been good to you?
Amen.
He's been good to me. He's been better than I deserve. I don't deserve the goodness of God in my life, and yet God has been good to me. And I'm sure he's been good to you.
Yes.
And God is worthy of our thanksgiving. Is he not?
Yes.
Yet sometimes we only thank him sometimes. And the Bible says that we ought to give thanks always, as we read in the verse. Give thanks always for all things.
Amen.
You see, there are some things that God has done for us that we haven't thanked Him for. And there are some things that God has done for us that we forget, or we think that they came from another source, or they think that they came from our own ways. And that's not the case. God, without Him, we have nothing. God gives us everything that we have. And so you and I ought to thank the Lord, not only for our salvation. It's good to be saved, is it not?
Yes.
We ought to thank Him for our salvation. We ought to thank Him for His mercy. Yes. Oftentimes we don't do things His way, but yet He's merciful to us.
Amen.
We ought to thank Him for His supply.
Yes.
That God will supply all of your need according to Christ Jesus our Lord.
Yes.
And listen, we ought to thank Him for other brethren. There's other people that are not here now, or they're not in church because they don't know the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, tell them about the Lord Jesus Christ. Sometimes we want to get friendships before, and we want to talk about the Super Bowl, and we want to talk about this, and we want to talk about that, when in reality, the first thing we ought to talk about is salvation in Jesus Christ, and then we can have a better relationship and a better friendship. So we ought to thank the Lord. Once a person gets saved and we have that, we ought to thank the Lord for other believers.
Yes, amen.
So as the Bible says here, we shouldn't just give thanks one day out of the year in Thanksgiving, but instead we ought to give thanks always, always, as the Bible says, for all things. Amen?